Hallelujah. Are we in Matthew 3? See, in the first service, Tina and I have been teaming up with the Spirit of Grace. We've been teaming up and allowing the Spirit of Grace to just move. And it doesn't matter whether she's the one with the mic, I'm on the mic, Kim's the one with the mic, whoever's with the mic, it doesn't matter. It's basically, the Spirit of Grace has just been allowed to move and move in a new way and to make changes within us. But all this started with, even before the first of the year, she gave a word at the last service of last year about reset. About reset. Because it's time for a reset. Because see, sometimes things have gone by the wayside and it caused us to pull back from God, and it was time for a reset. Things have happened and things that have kept us from maturing in the way we were supposed to, it was time for a reset. Because we had to move back into where the Spirit of God was taking us. No longer beholding the things that have held us back in the past, but to look into the reset. To receive a reset, and as we began to receive the reset, God began to say, make room. Make room. Say it with me this morning. Make room. And we began to understand that He was looking for us to make room for His fire. To make room for His love. To make room for His grace. Matter of fact, He gave me a real specific word about making room, and it included all those things. But it was to make room to allow Him to move in a brand new way. So see, the spirit of disappointment doesn't get to control anymore. The spirit of confusion doesn't get to control anymore. The things that held us back in a past season don't get to control anymore. See, God has a way of making room when you make room. He'll make it happen when we make room. There's nothing about what Tina or I are doing that's any more special than what was happening last year. But God, we decided we were going to make room. And He's making room, and He's doing something different. He's doing something different in each of us. I know that He's changed me. I know I can feel an awakening of fire of God in my heart like never before. Why? Because we're making room.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we're learning also to trust each other in a brand new way. Why? Because we're making room. Because see, that was one of the things He told me, make room for Tina. Make room. Why? Because that anointing that's on her life, I want it to be upon your life. And I want it to be upon those that you share with. Because in that anointing, God can release something different. And see, and I also see her moving. Sometimes I saw her moving in ways that looked, I said, man, I would have been saying just that. Hallelujah. So we're making room. See, when it comes right here, when we're coming about fire here, so, you know, you got to, when you hear a word like make room for His fire, the first thing I do is start looking through my scriptures. Start looking through my scriptures. What does the scripture have to say to me? What does the scripture have to say? What is it bringing forth? What is it changing? What is being opened up here? Where's the revelation that you want me to share? Where's the revelation that you want me to walk in? And so part of that became what we are here in Matthew 3. And this is John the Baptist that he's speaking, verse 11. And it says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He, being Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And in his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. And he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know, sometimes we read a word like this, and sometimes people get a little bit afraid. They get a little bit afraid. Why? Because, you know, if things are getting burned up, Lord, what is it about me that's going to get getting burned up? But he also answered that same thing in the same verse. You'll notice what he said. So the wheat can be put into the barn, and the chaff will go to the fire. So say it with me. The wheat goes to the barn. The chaff is what goes to the fire. That means that thing that's no longer needful is going to the fire. The thing that is no longer protecting us and helping us has got to go to the fire. The thing that used to be, maybe in some cases, some of those things were good things. Because see, you know what the chaff is? The chaff is the covering that was over the seed as it was developing and coming to maturity. But see, when he's beginning to release you, he's, what he's telling you now is you're coming into a season where the seed is mature.
Yes,
you're coming into a season when you have chaff, your seed is mature. Your seed is mature, and what he's saying is that thing which was your covering before, that thing that might have been protecting you, you don't need it anymore. Why? Because your seed is mature. When your seed becomes mature, you don't have to rely on those external things. You have an internal thing to rely on. It's called the Spirit of God. He's making an internal change in us. You know, sometimes because I've been developing the Sozo manual and whatnot, and I have 11 different things that can happen. They're just defensive issues, you know, that people walk around with, you know. I mean, people walk around with and they're just trying to hide their insecurity. They're trying to hide behind some other mechanism to keep them safe. But you know what? When your seed is mature, you don't need it anymore. Insecurity has to hit the door. Pain, the pain of a past season has to go away. Why? Because he has a fire that dissolves those things. He has a fire that will take those things that used to protect us. See, my way of protecting was could be just like a chameleon. I could just be whatever I thought you needed me to be in that moment. When I was a teenager, man, one of my friends noticed that he looked at me and said, man, you got everybody's angle figured out, don't you? But see, that was my way of being safe. Why? Because say, if I was everything you needed me to be, you couldn't reject me. But I don't need that anymore. I don't need that chaff has to go away now because that chaff is not born out of the Spirit of God and the seed has become mature so God can be able to release a new way of doing things. Hallelujah. The whole point of that was just to protect me. But it doesn't protect you. It really doesn't protect you. It just makes you think you're protecting. See, the anger that I used to carry, I used to think at one point in my life that it protected me, that it was my friend. But I've come to learn it was never my friend. It made me look like a bozo sometimes. I'm not alone. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because see, that was an old thing. It was an old way. And the enemy had so totally convinced me that it would protect me. But I realize now, none of those things, none of those devices of man, none of those devices of my emotions could protect me. Only the Spirit of God and His righteousness will actually protect you and keep you in a place of safety. It's His heart and His fire that comes to consume everything else that would get in the way. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. So He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, fire comes to announce a new season in your life. Fire comes to announce a new season. When we hear about the fire, every time the fire was there, there was announcing of a new season. In order to burn up those 22,000 bulls, there was a lot of fire involved. And there was a new season that was released on the kingdom of Israel. In the book of Acts, what happened? He said, here, I'm coming to announce a new season. And he baptized them in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so in the book of Acts, we see the fire of God was seen on the individuals and multiple times. We think about it just in Acts 2, but it actually happens in Acts 9 and 19. Also, the fire of God comes upon them in tangible ways. But it's announcing a new season, a change of covenant. See, God is a change of covenant for you. Because, see, if you've been trapped up in the old, it's time to grab a hold of the new. It's time to grab a hold of where He's taking us. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. We put that off to someday in the future, but that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about today. He sees you, church, without spot or wrinkle. Today, He sees you without spot or wrinkle. If we always put that off sometime in the future, well, He'll come back when we're all perfect. Guess what? We're not going to be perfect, but we can be in Him. Say that again. We're not going to be perfect, They don't have Tim. That's good news, isn't it? We're not going to be perfect. But guess what? We don't have to be because He was. He was. And it's His victory that is assuring your place with God. It's His victory that's preparing the way for you. Hallelujah. When we allow Him to do these things, things can fall off. Independence, pain, all these things can fall off of our life. The confusion can fall off of our life. The strongholds can be sloughed off and cast off. You know, we're supposed to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's not just about someone else. That's not just about the things we're doing. I see that as the things that the enemy already did to us. You know, I love to go fishing, and my neighbor Lynn, he likes to get me to jump in, and he's calling me like every week, you know, saying, "Hey, can we go fishing? Can we go fishing? He's retired, so he can go fishing anytime. He's just looking for somebody to go, a partner in crime to go with him. So, and there's a place that we go down there at the Navidad River. And I can tell you about it, because even if you know where the ramp is, you're never going to find the place, so it's okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you for awesome fishing spots. Man, I've caught some nice fish out of there. So anyway, some nice bass. So anyway, golly, man, the anointing just keeps pulling me right back that way. This place down here, there's a boat ramp, of course. And at this boat ramp last summer, someone dropped off a little Cocker Spaniel dog. Yeah, aw. And this dog, it is. I mean, I'm serious. It is, because this dog, you know, he was off. But see, whatever, have any idea. But he was so wounded, he wouldn't come to you. He was so hurt, he wouldn't let you get near him. He'd run away. And, you know, as he's there, and for month after month, he's there. And, you know, the fishermen started bringing him food and setting him up. They'd leave a little tray out for him, and things like that would happen. And so he was getting some nutrition. He was getting a little hand out here and a hand out there. But he still wouldn't come to Sinai. Then Hurricane Harvey happened. And that little doggie's out there in the middle of Hurricane Harvey, right there off the coast, 40 miles from the coast. All the wind, all the storm. I'm sure the fear had to have been huge. But he made it through. He made it through. And then finally, he allowed somebody to pick him up and take him home. And he avoided the biggest things. Because see, this little place, this is like a preserve, a nature preserve out there. So there's alligators out there. There's alligators out there. There's packs of coyotes out there. And somehow he managed to avoid all these things and still find his way to a home. But you know what kept him out? The same thing that keeps us out. The pain of his past. The pain of abandonment, the pain of hurt, the pain of his independence. See, sometimes we won't let somebody help us because of our own independence, our own need to control our destiny because somebody hurt us in the past, so therefore we have to continue on. It's time for the chaff to fall off. It's time for the chaff to get burned up. It's time for the chaff to get consumed in the fire. We don't have to let the past predict our future anymore. You're safe from the past because if you allow God to consume you with his future. Hallelujah. 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 When that happens, see, he's taking care of those wrong identities. See, that dog had lost his identity as a house dog. He had lost his identity, lost his way. I don't know how he wound up there, but somebody abandoned him. But that wasn't his identity. He wasn't an orphan. It's not his identity. Guess what? Church, it's not yours either. You're not an orphan. John 14 tells us that he came to keep us, make sure that we weren't orphans. Make sure we're not orphans. He says he sends his Holy Spirit to be with you. To be with you, Glenn. Because why? Because you're not an orphan. You're not an orphan. See, sometimes we forget our way. And when we forget our way, things happen. But God has a new way for you to step into. I remember Sharon's, yeah, she's here, so hallelujah. I spent some of Sharon's time one time wisely. Hallelujah. Because I worked for her in the Shepherd's Guide, and I was out delivering the books and doing all those things. And I was just praying in the Holy Ghost and learning how to preach and prophesy. I was learning how to preach. Basically, I can tell you that windshield there in that truck got saved more times than I can tell you. Why? Because I kept speaking to it, and releasing to it until something happened in this cab of this truck. And one of these times, one of the things that happened in the cab of the truck was I mean, just the glory of God filled the thing. I couldn't even see. So I stopped, and I pulled right off the road. And 20 minutes later, I quit sobbing, and I look up, and I'm sitting outside of this biker bar. And all these guys are gathered around looking at me. I waved at them. Love you. Put it in reverse. We're out of here. Hallelujah. I didn't know what else to do. I was undone in the Spirit of God in that truck. But there was a day when I was out making the deliveries, and I found a church that I hadn't been to before. And I come up and I start knocking on the door, and it was a church where the house and the church were kind of combined. It was a little hard to figure out what was what. But in this house, and I'm knocking on the door, and nobody comes. And I'm about to leave, and I'm starting to walk back to the truck, and the Spirit of God says, I want you to go back. And I knocked on the door some more, and still nothing happened. And I said, Lord, what's the point? I'm leaving. He said, knock it one more time. So I knock on the door one more time. One more time. Say one more time. And this man comes to the door. And he's the pastor of the church. And see, he begins to speak to me. He said, I don't know who you are. He said, but you just interrupted me. I'm sorry. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. He said, no, this is a good thing. He says, because I was in the process of trying to commit suicide when you knocked on the door. I was trying to get the courage to pull the trigger. And I walked in with him. And then we went into his little kitchen area, and we sat on there, and the gun was still on the table. And we began to talk, and I began to share God with him, and I began to reawaken him, and began to speak into him. Because see, what had happened was in this church, he had been abandoned by everybody. See, his wife had gotten sick with cancer, and they'd fought cancer for three or four years, and then she passed away, and he let that sorrow consume him, and everybody in the church eventually, slowly, one by one, had abandoned him, and he felt just totally alone and useless. See, he had lost his way, because he began to believe what the enemy was trying to say, is you're just an orphan. He began to believe it, and so I began to share the truth of the word with him, and began to share with him how God had already saved him, and God had already made a provision even for this moment, and in the middle of the darkness, how he could come and touch you. And as I began to speak with him, and I shared with him long enough until eventually his daughter showed up, and she was able to take it on from there. But see, when you walk with the Spirit of God, you let the Spirit of God begin to release through you, you can make it known to somebody who they really are. And when you make it known who they really are, the spirit of the orphan has no place to be anymore. God is awakening us. He's removing the chaff from us. He's bringing us into a place where we can recognize the wheat that's being put into the barn. We can recognize the wheat that he's already stored up. Because see, each and every one of you has a testimony. You don't become a Christian without a testimony. And each and every one of you has a testimony that you can release somewhere. And as you release it, the truth of that testimony, the truth of the word behind that testimony begins to share, and it begins to open up a brand new possibility, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a purpose for everyone in this room. God has a destiny for everyone in this room. And we can walk in the fullness of that destiny by allowing Him to breathe His fire into our heart. It's not a hurtful thing. It's a thing that releases who we really are. I think that's worth a lot more than just one clap. I'm not one who looks for those things, but I can tell you sometimes you need to recognize what God has just said to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an awakening that God is doing. There's a change and a transformation that's happening in our spirit. Hallelujah. Pages and pages of notes, and I'm not teaching out of any of that, so hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter. God has put something in your life. He's setting a destiny before you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters that you find your identity in Him. The fire comes to set your identity into Him. The fire comes to cause you to recognize your identity in Christ. I think I shared this last week, and I think this is probably a good place to wrap this up. But even before I begin that process, just recognize this morning before the first, as the very first strains of the first song of the day were coming out, God just began saying, break the bread, 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 break the bread. Say it with me, break the bread, break the bread. Break the bread. Break the bread. In other words, let His testimony begin to make a difference in your life. Let what He's doing begin to speak and release the love that He has for you and for others around you. When we break bread with Him, it's the testimony of God being released, and that means love is being released. Love is being shown. So we're going to break the bread. I invite you to share in the communion here in just a moment, but I want to let you know something. I want to ask you a question. And some of you may think, well, our answer is obvious. But where does a seed, an apple tree, where does an apple get its identity from? From the tree. See, in my backyard, when we first moved into my other house, there was a tree that was back there, and now it was about less tall. And at that point, maybe it was a couple of years old, and I'm looking at it, and year one, nothing happened. I've never seen a tree quite like this one. Nothing happened year one. Year two, nothing happened. Year three, nothing happened. Year four, it began to blossom forth. See, its seed had come into the time. It's seed that comes at a time. And it began to bear forth an apple. And see, this was an Israeli apple, so it didn't look like any of the apple trees that I was familiar with, because I grew up at one point in time when we had an apple orchard. But I had never recognized this one because it doesn't look like that, but it still bears an apple. Now, when this situation is coming up, when was that apple tree an apple? When was it a tree and an apple tree specifically? When the fruit came forth? From day one, from the image in the seed, from the image in the seed, Tina, from the image that was in the seed. It was an apple from the day of that image being set inside. And you are an apple from the day of the image set inside. You are Christ's child from the day the image was set inside you. And that apple, that image determined everything about what that seed became. It determined everything about how that tree was going to look. It determined everything about what was going to happen out of this tree. And someday, one day, I don't know, I think it was 5 or 6 years old. They had to be 5 or 6 years old before the tree could come mature enough to release its fruit. But see, it doesn't matter. The fruit is already there. Sometimes when we're looking for the fruit, we forget to look and let it mature first. We don't have to be in condemnation if your fruit hasn't matured yet. Don't be in condemnation. Just keep looking to the image that was in the seed. The image that was in Christ Jesus is the image that you carry. And even if you've messed up in a moment, if there's a bad apple on the tree, it doesn't mean the tree is bad. Because there was a bad fruit in your life, it doesn't mean the tree was bad. The tree was still good. The tree was still carrying the image of the Father. And as long as it carries the image of the Father, you'll get back to it. It doesn't matter if a whole season goes by and there's no harvest, you're going to get back to it. God has an image, and He's already planted it in every side of every one of us. So let's quit condemning each other and ourselves. Let's quit condemning each other and ourselves because the fruit hasn't come forth. Let's quit condemning because there's a bad fruit on the tree. Let's start celebrating the tree. Let's start celebrating the image that God created us in. Celebrate Christ within us, because when we celebrate Christ within us, it brings wholeness to the tree, and it brings wholeness. And as we celebrate that, it brings the possibility for true fruit to come forth. And guess what? When the apple goes forth, it becomes a papa. It becomes a papa. When the fruit comes to fullness and it casts itself forth, more trees are created. More trees are created. That's what we're here to do. See, we're here to catch the image of Christ, recognize the image of Christ in us. And as we come into a fullness of age, that when we can release that image into another and watch it, nurture it, and call it forth. Hallelujah. See, that's what the prophetic does. It begins to call forth. Today, the prophetic has been released over your life, and it's beginning to call forth the product of the image. It's calling forth the product of the image. God is releasing us into a place called love. He's releasing us into a place called destiny, and He's calling it forth because He's already placed it within you. Time for the sheep to outrun the shepherd. It's time for the sheep to stand up and be counted. It's time for the sheep to say, I'm ready. Send me forth. I'm ready. Declare your love in me and through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're not going to do any of this without grace. It's the grace of God that comes to empower us to complete the image. I'd like to tell you I could do all this in my own strength. I can dig my heels in and I can make it happen. But you know, without grace, you ain't making it happen. When someone comes up and they're all ugly and they're getting you in your face, you know what? You better look for the grace. Because if they're up in your face, you better look and call upon the grace in that moment. Because if you're not calling upon the grace, you'll miss it. Let the fruit come out of the grace. Let the fruit come up because grace is in your life. Let fruit come up because you're empowering by grace. When you see someone else, and maybe their day's not quite lining up, maybe the fruit doesn't look quite like it's ripe and ready yet, empower them with grace. Release grace. Say it with me. Release grace. We're going to release grace. Yes. Because that's how we step in to agreement with God. That's how we step in and see something happen in our sanctuary. See, we release a grace. Hallelujah. I admitted, I told on myself this morning. This morning I said, you know, the last couple Sundays, I've been sinning because I was coming to the church and I looked down and I'm in such a hurry to get to church, such an anticipation for church. I looked down at my speedometer and it says 55 miles an hour over here on 1960. And I was like, uh-oh, slow your roll. Why? Because there's a great expectancy for what God is doing. But He's not doing it just in this sanctuary. He's doing it in each and every one of you. He's doing it in your hearts. He's doing it in everyone who will allow Him room. So this morning, Lord, we just choose to invite You we choose to invite you, Lord. I can't do all this in my own strength. Lord, I just surrender to you. Lord, I make a choice to make room. That's all I'm responsible for. Just a choice to make room, to say it with me. And Lord, I choose to make room. Lord, I choose to receive your more. I choose to receive the grace to produce the image you've created me in. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that, people. It's as simple as that. If you've never said anything like that before, you in effect said a sinner's prayer a different way. Hallelujah. You've received Christ in, because when what? When you make room, he makes a way. When you make room, he makes a way. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. So we do want to receive communion, and I'll tell you what, Tina, if you can come up. She's like, what? It ain't about us. It's about the Spirit of God. But if you want us to release the Spirit of God that we've managed to come in contact with, and the grace that we've managed to come in contact with, we'll be delighted to do so. I invite you to come up and just be prayed for. I invite you to come up and just surrender. If you don't want anybody to pray for you at all, that's perfectly all right. But I invite you to come and make a stand for Christ. Make a stand and a choice in your life this morning that I'm one to get the more. I'm going to step into the love that you have for me, and I'm going to step into the destiny that you have for me. And there's, as you do so, realize that as you receive the communion, you're also commemorating what God has done and is doing and about to do. Because when he begins to break the bread in your life, he's inviting you to an intimacy. He's setting a table of intimacy for you. So as you participate with the bread, just realize he's separating you into an intimacy with him. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. And we do have healing rooms. Healing rooms will be coming up over here in the corner right here to pray if you need healing in your physical body. If you just need somebody to stand with you in prayer, they'll be glad to do so. And I just invite you to please come up. And we do have Miss Lily's party at 1 o'clock, I believe. 1 o'clock? All right. So Miss Lily's party at Papado's on Willowbrook. Okay. Or at Willowbrook. That's a better way to put it. Hallelujah. I understand, Lord, the Lord's going to move at Papado's in a mighty way, but he's going to move right here, right now. Hallelujah. He's here now. Come.